loved by God, discovered what that means, and recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. So just another update. It's just have that good. Talking to my dad these days is so cool. Just to have that clear, have that good, have that love back. And my little red truck, we just have some of the coolest conversations. And I tried to tell my mom about that. She's like, okay. that's a little different. She's like, Mom. So anyway, but it's been really, really good. So we're talking about listening. And you know what? We're going to keep talking about listening until we run out of ideas and discoveries about listening. The don't believe that. Check his track record. He has come closer. Well, he started out as pretty close, walking on in a place that looked a lot like that with his kiddos when they first got here. And the whole thing was, I made you not to work you, not to give you a job, you know. It wasn't that. People think, well, I want to know what God's will is, as if life is supposed to be some kind of vocation that we do for God. His original design was, I'm going to build a garden, I'm going to put you in it. And whether it was literal or figurative, the story is that God's design is to hang out with us. And so he speaks Godese, and we speak humanese. And so those conversations had to be interesting because he's dealing with this profoundly wise and deep brain and huge, enormous heart and creative abilities out the wazoo. And we're down here saying, ooh, peach, ooh, elephant, you know, whatever. We're struggling to just figure out what life is about. What does it mean to go around that next corner? So you've got this huge gap. And so God shows up and says, I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. I'm going to show up every day. And we're going to get this conversation thing right. Because I want to hear you, and I want you to hear me, and I want us to talk. I want us to communicate. So all through Scripture, well, we blew that. I mean, you know, and we usually do. We blew that. And so he spent the rest of Scripture trying to get back to those talks, those walks, that close communion. And so it's pretty extreme to think that he would say, and I don't know that God scratches his head. Maybe he does. But he would scratch his head and say, what am I going to do? Okay, I'll become one of them. I'll grow up in a womb. I'll grow up with them. I'll endure puberty. That's a crazy one. You know, I'll figure out life as a human, and then I'll know them. And then when I speak, they'll know me because I'll speak humanese. And so we'll get this communication. God is all about hearing us, and God is all about us hearing him. And Wayne said again this week, we were in a conversation doing our podcast, and he said, God wants to be known. We have this idea that God wants to hide from us, or that God is so hard to find, when the truth of the matter, all through Scripture, start to finish, God wants to be known. It's just like, how do you make yourself known to a hill full of ants? We've got bluebirds building in a box in our front yard. How do I make myself known to them? How do I, you know, as soon as I get close, they run away. You know, I'm not going to hurt you. I want to talk to you. We don't G and haul. We don't hook up. That's one of your terms, G and haul. Harold likes that term. You know what that is, right? How you got a mule? G and haul. Okay, never mind. So, so God's got a track record. And then, I mean, if that's not enough, then he says, okay, after my son is gone, then I'm going to literally take my spirit and I'm going to put him inside everybody. Not only will I hear the words of your mouth, but I will feel the desires of your heart. And I will know the intentions that go on that you don't even speak out. That's how much I want to hear you. I want to hear what you're saying, and I want you to hear me. I want us to have communication. So it's the basis. It's the basis of everything that we've got with God is this communication back and forth. And so if we find healing, that's why we're here. We're here to find emotional and relational and spiritual healing. And so when we become whole people, I don't think we ever reach wholeness, but we're on the way. It's a pathway. It's a journey to wholeness. So as we're moving toward wholeness, we're discovering more and more, I'm discovering to each other. It's an enormous piece of the pie to learn to listen. And this week I spent Wednesday evening, a couple hours, with Allison and some more people who are raising children with special needs. Allison's son, I've asked her permission for this, Allison's son is autistic, is on the spectrum, and the other couple's son was the same way. I was fascinated they don't speak the same language we do. What do they call us? They call us neural normals. Isn't that great? They have a term for us. Autistic people call us names behind our back. We're neuronormals. Neural normals, which I think is just, I love that. So to sit and listen to these parents talk about learning to communicate with their children and learning to listen to their children, because we've talked several weeks ago about listening to an infant or listening to an elderly person who's on their deathbed and they don't say a word for weeks, and all of a sudden they say three and we hang on those words. But at least we understand the English that they spoke. Their minds kind of work like ours. Autistic children, their minds work so in such a different way. So if a child comes home from school and they're really, really upset and the parent says, what's wrong? And the child says, Miss So-and-so said that she was going to erase the blackboard, but she didn't. Well, tell me about that. Well, we were going to go on and read a story by so-and-so, but before they were going to do that, the teacher said she was going to erase the board, and she kind of did, but she didn't erase it all. There was still a dot in the corner. And she moved on to the next subject, and I said, Miss So-and-so, it's clean. There was a dot there. So for the rest of the day, that person's day was ruined because that dot was still there. And we look at that and we say, well, that's ridiculous. That's silly. No, that's their world. That's their world. And so as we sat there and we talked in that room, somebody said the profound thing that I'd never thought of. They said, there is no cure for autism. So when you learn to listen, this is so profound. When you learn to listen to your child, it's not because you think, if I learn their language, I can fix their autism. If I learn how to communicate with them, I can change them and help them to discover how to function in this neuronormal world. And the fact is, that will never happen. So just give up. Just stop listening. Stop trying. Because if listening doesn't fix them, then what's the point? And as I sat there and listened to them, I thought, oh my gracious, this is God's love. God doesn't love us so that he can fix us. God doesn't listen to us so he can say, I'm gonna get your number. I'm going to figure out how to communicate with you so I can change you into somebody you're not. He listens to us because we're his kids. No other reason. I sat there for about an hour, hour and a half, and I stopped him. I said, listen, y'all. I said, we have so much to learn from you all. We have so much to learn for the way that you have devoted your lives to these dear people and saying you know that they'll never change. But you are completely into, I want to know about your world. I want to listen to you so that I can understand your world. I'm not going to try to make you fit into my world, but I want to come and understand your world. What did God do? God said, I want to come and I want to fit into your world. Not, you all need to get your act together. Y'all need to be much better to each other with me for eternity. If you get your stuff together. But the body language is God saying, I'm going to come to you, your world, knowing that probably you'll never change from who you are. But I'm going to come and learn your language and learn the intents of your heart and learn learn you, learn humanese. I think, what a God. What a God who would do that. So just for a few minutes tonight, I want to talk about, so if we want to learn, and really Allison should be up here teaching this lesson because she has learned to listen. I just sat at her feet the other night and said, girl, you teach me something. It was profound. But if we're going to learn to listen, are there some tips? Inevitably, when you start talking about this kind of thing, somebody's going to say, well, how do we, the how word, how are we going to do that? Is there some sort of methodology? Is there some sort of, how do we get started with this? I don't even know how to get started with this. When I came into recovery back in 05 or whenever it was, when I came into recovery, the first thing that I learned in the first step group I was ever in, and I've shared this with y'all before, but I'm just for the sake of the lesson tonight, the first thing I learned about myself was I absolutely suck at listening. I'm just terrible at it. The format in the room is you have to shut up and listen. You have to. It's the rules. You shut up and listen while everybody else shares. That just in itself teaches you some listening skills. But as time went by, I realized because of my inner healing that I was becoming a better listener. And so I've thought, okay, so how did that happen? For the sake of this lesson tonight, what happened in me? That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen in you. But what happened in me? And so the very first thing, which everybody's going to sigh a big duh, but it's really important. You have to want to listen. And if you get away from the mirror, you just talk to yourself and say, does it really even matter to me that I become a better or a more honest or a more genuine listener? Does it even matter? Do I care? Is this something that I want to even explore for myself? And if it's not, then that's fine. That's fine. But I don't think I would have taken any further steps in this if I hadn't wanted to become. But I was embarrassed, frankly. I was embarrassed at my inability to listen. And sometimes I'm still embarrassed with it. I'm just like, dude, shut the up. You know, just be quiet. That was a bleep. Did you hear that? Thank you. I bleeped myself. but it's, you just have to come to the place where you want to listen, period. Okay, I mean, everybody's like, well, duh. But that's bigger than you think. It's, you know, if you'd have asked me back in my religious days or my normal pastoring days, do you want to listen? I would have said, sure, sure. But not really. Not really. It would be like, yeah, I want to learn to listen, but have you heard the latest about so-and-so? Or, you know what I saw? I would have just kept right on rolling. Close with me, where you have this definitive moment where you say, okay, I want to learn to listen. So that's the first thing. And then, and y'all are just going to like, you're seriously making a lesson out of this? Because it's so obvious. The second thing is, shut the F up. Shut up. Shut up. I mean, it's like, well, duh, well, sure. No. No. Think about, you're talking to somebody, and you ask them a question, and they say something, and then there's this awkward pause. Oh, shoot. Now what do I do? I got to do something here. I cannot tolerate the awkwardness of this moment. So I've got to say something. I've got to identify with them. There's got to be a joke that fits here. Let me tell the joke. There's got to be something I can do here to release the tension of this awkward moment. Just shut up. Just shut up and let it flow. There've been half a dozen or more really stupidly awkward moments that I've had in the last 6 or 8 months where I have literally said, shut up. And I've just sat there and thought, I'm going to sit here until they say something else. And you just squirm and you're just like, oh, man. you know. But you just learn to live with those moments. You live with those moments. I talk so much that I think a lot of people who know me think, I need to ask Wendell permission to speak. That's embarrassing. That's very embarrassing on my part. So my awkward silence is me giving them unspoken permission. You can talk. Yeah, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let you. You can talk. So some of these points may sound pretty stupid, but when I flesh them out, they make sense to me. Shut up. Shut up. And what goes with that is slow down. Matt was talking about a little bit about that in his opening remarks. Just slow down. If conversations have to do with information, you want to gather that as quick as you can because you want to do something with that information. You want directions on how to get to so-and-so, you know, or get to a certain place. You don't want them to, well, first, you go down, you need to get from point A to point B, whatever. You want information, their desire, you know, that should happen in a timely fashion. But if you expect them to share their heart, their desires, their feelings, their secrets, you want them to get real, you're going to have to slow down. Because that kind of stuff doesn't come in rapid fire. That comes in drabs and dribbles and little pieces and little, it comes in body language, it comes, you know. So you just have to slow down. If I could go back and raise our kid, and we could raise our kids together, oh, that would change so much of how the parenting techniques I used. I wanted the information, and they wanted to tell me something far deeper than just the information. So I would slow down, slow way down. So you got to want to listen, you got to shut up, and you got to slow down. Well, let's see. I don't have any notes, so I've got to access what I thought about this week. What was the fourth one I was thinking about? Okay, so here's something else that suppose the awkward moment. Okay, I'm arranging my thoughts as we go. A lot of times, what is being said is not the real issue. Even if somebody tells you a problem, a lot of times what they say is not the real issue. The old saying is the issue is never the real issue. So a lot of times you have to hear past what they're saying to what they're really meaning, or where you have to see kind of where they're trying to head, but they don't know how to get there. And that's when listening becomes a little more proactive. And you don't just passively sit there quietly, but you've paid your dues, you've slowed down, you've shut your mouth, and you've listened, and you think, I think they're trying to get here. I think they're trying to open up about this. So how do I help them open up about whatever it is they want to open up about? I think, to me, you can tell I'm not real sure of myself here, because I'm still learning how to do this. But if you ask questions that sound like you're interrogating them or investigated, and nobody wants to, they're investigated, you know, that's invasive. But if you the word I like is curiosity, and I've used it before here. But if you become very enamored, is that word used? You really become enamored with this person, what they're trying to tell you. You're all into what they're trying to say. And you know that what they're saying is not the real problem. There's another issue. You can say things like, I'm just curious here. And then maybe you can give them a menu. Are we talking about anger here? Are we talking about depression? Are we talking about a conflict you have with so-and-so over here? You give them a menu of things. I'm a little confused, and I kind of hear this, but I might hear this, but I really want to know where you're coming from. So you just give the other person a menu. You know how on a computer it'll have a drop-down thing. What do you want to do here? They give you five or six different things. So you're giving them that. You're saying, I think I hear, and I could be hearing you say this. So you give them some options to work with. And they may bite on one of those. They may push go on one of those, or they may not. Another thing that I found helpful is to ask them, I need your help here. If you're talking with them, if you're like, well, you need to tell me this, you know. Now, that's a little exaggerated, but I mean, if you're not coming clean with me, you're not getting honest with me, turn that conversation off. But if you come at it with, you know, I need your help here, can you explain, okay, you just said this. What did you mean by that? You put on your Dr. Phil, you know. Well, what did you mean by that? And there again, if you say it in a condescending way, they're going to see right through it. Oh, so now you think you're Dr. Phil. Where's the couch? I'll lay down. And how much am I going to owe you after this? I mean, that's not going to float. But if you can ask in a curious way, and in a keep it real. Just keep it real. Don't mess with them, but keep it real. Maybe you just need to say to them, here you go. Maybe you just need to say to them, I don't want this information so I can fix you because I'm not going to do that. I'm not even going to try that. I want this information because I want to know you. And I want to know you so that I can love you more deeply and I love you more genuinely. So I'm not asking for this because I've got any notion that I'm better than you or smarter than you or more capable than you and that I can somehow fix you. I'd like to know this because I want to know you so that I can love you. And you have to put that in your own words. You see how different that is? You pay somebody to fix you. They don't have to love you. They don't have to have any feelings toward you whatsoever. There's no future in that relationship, probably. Well, there is as long as you keep paying them. How's that working? So, you know, you can do... Or you can have somebody who says, no, I can see a long-term relationship here. So I'm all into getting to know you so that we can, you know, and you divulge stuff about yourself as well, but I don't know if there's anything else to say about listening. I really feel that God's for us is the fact that he has listened to us. I told this story a long, long time ago. In probably CR back then, but I was watching some sort of PBS documentary on archaeology in Egypt, and they were trying to relate it to some of the scriptural passages of Moses and the children of Israel being held captive in Egypt. Everybody knows that story. And this archaeologist somehow had found out about some scribblings on the ceiling. It was a copper mine or a silver mine or a tin mine or something, I don't know, over there in Egypt. You had to crawl on your back and look up at the scribblings on the, and it was Hebrew. And it was literally, I don't know if they weren't allowed to say Yahweh, but it was Adonai or something. Father, please hear the cries of your children. We're slaves. Way back where nobody would ever see it. Way back where no Egyptian would crawl. And they knew they could get away with calling out to God. And then God shows up that day with Moses in the burning bush. And what did he say? I've heard the cries of my children. I've heard the cries. And we say God doesn't give a shit. Really? I mean, God hears the cries. God is intently listening to the cries. He saw the etchings on that way back, you know, and brought rescue. But if, to me, if that is one of God's, as one of the greatest and clearest indications of God's love for us is the way he will do whatever it takes to hear us and to get us to hear him. It's extremely important. So in this thing that we have with God, it only makes sense to me if I'm going to be God to you or to you or whatever. That's going to be a huge piece of the pie. There can be other parts, other components, but one of the most crucial pieces to a healthy, ongoing relationship is the deep desire to hear the other person, not just listen for information. We've been saying this for 2 or 3 weeks. Is everybody catching the difference? You don't listen for information. You hear for the meaning. There's a I just discovered that a couple of years ago. There's a huge difference between listening and hearing. Listening is for information. Hearing is what is in your heart. What is going on inside of you? And that's where you connect with other people. And that's where this whole God things happen. God things happen. However you say that. God thing. So anyway, I don't know if there'll be anything else on listening next week. Every time I think, okay, now that's all we need to say about listening, there's more stuff that comes to me, and I always make a mistake, and air quotes mistake, and sit down with Wayne, and then it's like, oh shoot, Wayne, now I got more to say about listening. He is a listener. That dude's a listener. I'm telling you, I've learned a lot with him about listening. I've learned a lot about listening from that lady right there too. So, anyway, I hope this helps. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. And if we're going to be a healthy community, it's all yours. We're going to, or it's all ours. I don't know how.
Yours.
It's ours.
That's right.